Your team on your station. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Full count pitch. Slider belted left field. Down the line. Hooking. Hooking. There she goes. A walk-off home run for Edwin Encarnacion. The Blue Jays 13th walk-off win here at the Rogers Center.
Nice to actually get to hear that call. I sit maybe a foot and a half away from Jerry. I couldn't hear a word he was saying with the 22,769 screaming as Edwin rounded the bases. That's the play of the game, and it's brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go at rogersondemand.com. Edwin Encarnacion walks it off. The Blue Jays beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 4-3 in 12. The Jays are the only team since the records began to be kept in 1920 that has won more than 10 extra inning games at home without losing one. 11-0, they finished the season, and let it be said, they improved to 12-3 on the year in games in which they force a blown save. Bobby Kaseva blew the save in this game in the bottom of the seventh inning as the Jays rallied from 3-1 down. So the Jays this season are 19-18 in games in which saves are blown. I don't know what it means, but it's kind of cool. This was the final home game of the season, the last full day of summer in 2011, so it's kind of fitting. Very weird feeling for me anyway. I don't know about the rest of you. I know hockey started and the NFL's already 2 weeks in, but a very weird feeling for me to be walking around this place tonight knowing that I'm not going to be back here until April, if the crick don't rise, as they say. Just, I mean, it goes by so fast. It gets late so early. You just don't, I'm not ready for it, even though there's a week left in the regular season. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. And long distance 1-888-666-0590. We will, of course, have five more Jays talks this year and plenty in the playoffs, but this is the last one I'm going to be hosting from this perch here in our broadcast booth at Rogers Center on the 300 level until next year. Very weird. But let's talk. The Jays bullpen does a great job. Edwin walks it off, and he's been taking a lot of crap all year long. The way this place felt in the bottom of the ninth, when Jose Bautista came to the plate with a winning run on first. In the bottom of the 11th, when Bautista came to the plate with two out and nobody on. And everyone sensing his opportunity to be the hero. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Take your calls all the way along the Blue Jays radio network until the bottom of the hour, and then we will extendo the Jays talk to midnight Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. You can tune us in on fan590.com right now. Give us a call, and while you're on hold waiting to come on the radio and talk to me, or even if you don't call, though, why not call? It's a good time. Please go to www.facebook.com/baseballhall. Click on the wall, and then you scroll down, and they've got the big blue and yellow check mark back. So you can easily find the poll and go vote for Tom Cheek for the Ford C. Frick Award. Do it tonight. Do it every night for the remainder of the month of September. You've got nine more chances. Don't waste any of them. We begin the Jays talk with Mark in Toronto. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing? Listen, I got to make one comment. It's a great ending. Our family's had season tickets since 1977. I've probably been to every last game. This was probably the best finish of a home game I've seen, except for Carter's home run. And the disappointing part about the whole thing afterwards was we were all standing behind the dugout. We were waiting for the Blue Jays to come out and acknowledge the fans for thank you for a great season, and nobody came out. And everybody says, where are they? I think that was the most disappointing of the whole evening. And I was shocked that the manager wouldn't say, let's go out and thank the fans, guys. What a great ending to the game. And they didn't come out. I was like, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, I apologize for your flabbergastment. I can't remember. You know, it's been a few years, I think, since the Jays have not finished a season at home. Now, yeah, I could be wrong. Next year they'll finish at home, which is cool.
With the Yankees, great. But No, I just was shocked. And they always said,
but Tom Young says that since he's been here, and this is his fourth year, the Jays have finished on the road every year. Every one of the last 4 years. So maybe they're just out of practice. I wasn't surprised to not see them come out just because the season's not over. But you make a good point. I don't know that it's worth getting riled up about or anything like that.
No, I guess it was more shocking than anything. Hey, where are the Jays? They're going to come out and wave to us, say thanks, thank you, fans. You know, especially since it was a walk-off home run. They just disappeared in the dugout like they've normally done in a walk-off home run. And I was just shocked. All the years it's been, you know, I can't tell you it was the last game of the season. Most of the years I've been, it's been, well, first of all, fan appreciation night is usually the last night. It wasn't.
Right, and it wasn't this year. And they did do the thing and take the shirts off their backs on Sunday.
Yeah, so, but this was the last game, and I think the crowd was a little bigger because it was the last game compared to the other games this week.
Yep.
And everybody was standing around waiting. There must have been 100 people around the dugout waiting. And I was just surprised. You know, it's the first time I've been in the last game that hasn't happened.
Okay. I appreciate the call. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if it slipped their mind. I don't know if they just figured, well, the season's not over yet, so let's not act like the season's over yet. But, yeah, sure, would have been nice. Brian is in Kingston. Hello, Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian must not be there. That's unfortunate. That opens up a line, though, so that you can get in at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Angels 4-3 in 12. And we're just waiting for our fine producer, Joel McFadden, to make sure there's somebody there this time, which I'm sure he did with Brian, but Brian left. Chris is in Kingston. Hello, Chris.
How are you?
Good.
So just to comment on the Jays there this year, they're definitely a young group of guys and very exciting to watch. I've been to a couple games there this year. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are for next year. Like, what do they need, a power bat or a closer or a number two pitcher that's established? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess that's what you think they need, huh?
Well, I don't know. I think a number two pitcher, because Cecil hasn't been always lived up to be there this year and everything. So I'm just wondering what you think.
Well, I wouldn't have ever thought that Brett Cecil was going to be the number two pitcher here. Now, the Jays are fifth in the league in runs scored, or at least they were going into today's game. I don't know if that changed. So they're doing all right as far as scoring runs. They have not been doing well at all as far as keeping other teams from scoring runs. Number
right.
two pitchers don't grow on trees, unfortunately. And you know, it's not as though there's one readily available in the free agent market unless you're a believer in Yu Darvish. And I don't know that you can expect him to step in and be that good right away in the major
yeah,
leagues.
No, that's definitely true.
But he's a guy I think that the Blue Jays will go after pretty hard.
It's good to see that they're going after that, and not just the Yankees and Boston going after the international free agents there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, other teams go after international free. The Twins signed a shortstop out of Japan last spring. The Mariners
right.
very active internationally. But I think they could stand to improve the pitching staff, but I think the pitching staff is going to do a lot of improving from within. I love Henderson Alvarez. I love Brandon Morrow and Kyle Drabek's stuff. And I love Dustin McGowan if he can stay healthy. So, you know, you might get your number two starter just simply by having Dustin McGowan next season.
Yeah, that's very true. He and it's definitely good to see him back in the big leagues after all he's been through.
Yes, indeed, for sure. And you know, I think the Blue Jays need to figure out second base. It's up to Kelly Johnson as to whether or not he comes back. They need a closer. Frank Francisco has done a whale of a job here in the second half, but he's a free agent, so
yeah.
He may not be back. They need to sort out left field between Eric Thames and Travis Snyder, though I don't think you lose either way right now. And I don't know about DH. I think you could improve DH. I think Edwin could be terrific, and he's been great since being installed as basically the full-time designated hitter at the end of June, but only 17 home runs, I think you can do a lot better than that. I think he can do a lot better than that, too, at $3.5 million. So I don't expect there to be radical changes to the Blue Jays next season. I think a lot of their improvement will come from guys who are already here getting better.
Nice.
All right, Chris. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Susan in Toronto. Hello, Susan.
Yes. Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I am not unwell. How are you?
I'm really well.
We just
left the Dome, and we saw a fabulous game.
You did.
I had a question as to whether, did Lori get hurt in time to preserve his rookie status for next year?
No, this is a question that I get asked probably 20 times a day on Twitter.
Really?
Half a dozen times in the live blog and at least once on each Jays talk. It just seems like Rookie of the Year is really important to a lot of Blue Jays fans.
Well, we grasp at straws, really. Come on.
Oh, well, let him be MVP. How about that?
Well, I will take anything, but I'm saying it. Look how hard it is for Bautista. He hasn't had that either. I mean, you know, it's eluded.
No, it's true.
It's eluded him, but he still hasn't. He doesn't have the status for that. Then
no, he has. You need to have 100, no more than 130 at bats, and Lori has 150.
Oh, I see. Okay, then. Well, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. And we shall see, Susan. If I have to answer that question again tonight, my money would be on the positive. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays walk things off in their final game of 2011 at home. They're headed out on the road. 3 against Tampa Bay, 3 against the White Sox as they wrap up their home schedule. Joe in Toronto, you're next.
Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Joe.
I'm just leaving the Rogers Center right now, so I want to just ask one quick question in your opinion. For next year's second base, who would you want? Johnson, Hill, Echevarria, I think his name is.
Echevarria. There's not a chance that Echevarria plays second base for the Blue Jays, and there's probably not much of a chance that he ever plays second base in the major leagues. He is just that good a shortstop. So I know a lot of people are very excited about him, and everyone's always excited about the people who aren't here yet. I understand that, but he's not going to play second base. He is a brilliant defensive shortstop who still has yet to prove that he can hit at the professional level, though he certainly wrapped up this season rather nicely. So it's not Echevarria.
If you had to pick between Hill and Kelly then for a second, who would you prefer?
Well, I don't have to pick between Hill and Kelly Johnson because there are a lot of other options. But I'll say this. Aaron Hill has had a fantastic month since coming over to the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's done a great job for them and has been a big part of their push so that to put the San Francisco Giants so far in their rearview mirror. But Aaron Hill was not good this year for the first 5 months, was not good last year. I still like him. I still hope that he can come back and be a good major league hitter because I believe that he can. Right now, Kelly Johnson has it all over him. He's got power. He takes a walk. And even in a down year for Kelly Johnson, he's still having a better year than Aaron Hill, even with his resurgence. So it's up to Johnson. He's a free agent. Aaron Hill, if the Diamondbacks have a great playoff run, they may well pick up his option because he's been so terrific for them. And, you know, we understand what impressions, you know, what first impressions are like. That's why everybody I talk to on the blog is so down on Colby Rasmus when he's just, I mean, such a great package there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Arizona Diamondbacks picked up Aaron Hill, at least one of the options, and kept him. Thanks for the call, Joe. We move on. Jerry is in Toronto. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Mike. Just coming from the game. I tell you, I think the Blue Jays should offer my 8-year-old son a contract.
Did he catch a foul ball or something?
No, I'm a season ticket holder. In the last 4 games I've taken him to, they've had walk-off wins in all 4 of them.
See, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I think he's a good luck charm. But anyways, I wanted to talk to you about, do you think the Jays are possibly going to revamp the bullpen next year? I mean, some of the games that I've watched, Jesse Litch pitch and Luis Perez, I've just been seeing guys teeing off on them. Do you see a total new makeup of the pen next year?
Jesse Litch has been very, very good out of the bullpen this year. And and he was exceptional tonight.
Tonight he was.
Needed him in extra innings. But and in the overall, as a reliever, he's gotten beaten on maybe twice. I mean, it's, you know, you're pulling some memories here that are valid for sure, because he has had a couple of rough outings, but they don't match up with the reality of what Jesse Litch has been able to do out of the bullpen this season.
I don't know. We were sitting there, and when we saw him come in the game, everybody around us were all holding our breath.
Well, but that's because
great tonight.
That's because that's what fans do. You know, they love to anticipate disaster so that they can be thrilled when it doesn't happen. But Jesse out of the bullpen, I'm just looking for his numbers here. As a reliever, he's holding opponents to a .209 batting average. He's allowed. He's got a WHIP of 1.14. He's been sensational as a reliever, with the exception, again, of a couple of bad outings that are included in those great numbers. I think that there will be revampage of the Blue Jays bullpen, but that's because Frank Francisco and John Roush and Sean Kemp are all likely to leave. But, you know, you look at Casey Jansen, you look at how well Litch has fit in, you look at what a guy like Joel Carreño has done. There are some very good arms here. They may top it off with that quote-unquote closer, or it might be Chad Beck who comes in and has a great spring and winds up being the closer.
Do you think Casey Jansen could possibly fit that role?
I think Casey Jansen's the best reliever in their bullpen, but they don't seem to be terribly interested in making him the closer, which is okay with me, because a lot of times those guys who are not the closer still wind up pitching the big, 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 important seventh and eighth innings in a game, your bullpen ace, who's not necessarily your closer. I think that's what we're going to see out of Casey Jansen in the future.
Right. One final comment. We sit just above the Blue Jay dugout, and you had an earlier caller mention about the Jays not coming out at the end. I kind of agree with them, because every year we've been there, they come and sort of salute the fans. It was a little bit of a letdown that they didn't tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And again, I mean, like I said, I don't know if it slipped their mind. Remember, this is John Farrell's first year as a manager. It might not have occurred to him. And the fact that the season isn't over probably played a lot into it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. The Blue Jays, in a walk-off, beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 4-3 in their finale at home this season. We'll take one more call before we hit the break, but remember, we will extendo the Jays talk all the way to midnight Eastern time, both on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. Paul is in Toronto. Hello, Paul.
Yes, actually, I'm on my way out of Toronto right now. Hi, Mike.
Right.
What I'd like to do, too, and I don't want to make a federal case out of it, because two previous callers have already said so, I agree that I'm quite surprised. I got to admit, we left after the ninth to get down the road early, but I'm surprised to hear the team didn't come out after the game. But again,
I have to say, if you left after the ninth, you have no right to complain about that.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All
got
right.
Work in the morning, got a long drive, so I thought I better leave. Anyway,
yep.
Two things. First of all, did I miss something Vernon Wells did on his way out of town to warrant booing like that? I understand people have the right to have some fun with it. I hope it's good-natured. I thought Vernon Wells had been, for the most part, first class his entire time here. I'm surprised. Maybe it was just my section. We were down between right field and first base, right down in the 100 level. But, wow, did he get showered with booze all night? And I'm not sure exactly what he did to deserve that.
Well, he used to play for the Blue Jays. That's what he did. And that's what Blue Jay fans do. And it's what Toronto fans do. And it's become quite unseemly. I mean, the truth of the matter is that people should stand up and cheer Vernon Wells every time he does anything for waiving his no-trade clause.
That's right. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I got thinking while it was happening, and I wasn't at the game where Halladay made his return to the Dome, but I'll bet you that didn't happen to him.
No, of course it didn't happen to him.
No.
No.
One more thought, too. A couple of callers ago, there's a bit of chat about Eric Thames versus Travis Snyder, and my thought on that is, I don't know talent-wise that, I mean, I'll bet you maybe Snyder's got the upper hand talent-wise, but there's some heart that I see in Eric Thames that I've never seen out of Travis Snyder. Snyder came with all the hype, and it almost seems there's a sense of entitlement there, and there's just a hustle I don't see.
Wow, I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all.
There's something about Thames
that
I don't see in Snyder.
Eric Thames has a huge smile that's a mile wide that lights up a room. There's no question about that. He looks every second that he's here like he is having the best time of his life, which is awesome. But I never saw anything like any sort of sense of entitlement or any of that from Travis Snyder. And Travis Snyder, you want to talk about hustle. There's not a single person on this team that got down the line faster every single time than Travis
Snyder. Maybe lack of hustle is not the word then. It just seems that it's all right there for him, and all he's got to do is take it.
Yep.
I've just never seen that out of him.
Well, because he's never there. We could talk for hours about Travis Snyder, but I do need to take a break here. Travis Snyder really never had a legitimate long-term opportunity to the extent that Eric Thames has had. Part of that reason was he wasn't able to stay healthy. But we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in left field because Eric Thames deserves to be here. But Travis Snyder may be better. But he hasn't earned it yet. We'll find out. We will check the scoreboard when we come back. The Blue Jays, a walk-off win, 4-3 over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Now they're off on the road for the final six games of the season. But we will continue to Jays talk it up on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
At home or on the road, we've got every Jays game. Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Back here at Rogers Center, where the Blue Jays are done. I'm going to cry. They're picking up the field. They've already taken down the center field wall. The video boards are still up. I assume that there's a lot more intense work for the grounds crew there. But they're taking up the field, and they're doing it for the final time. The 2011 home season is over. But the Blue Jays finish it off with a 4-3 homestand, with a walk-off win, 42-39 at home, with 13 walk-off victories. And they are the only team in the history of the major leagues since 1920 to win 10 or more extra inning games at home without losing. They finish 11-0 in extra innings at home. Just sensational, entertaining for the fans, a beautiful thing. We check the scoreboard quickly, and we find that in the National League there are two games that are still on the go. The Dodgers lead the Giants 4-1. Juan Rivera has homered and driven in three. They're through four. If L.A. holds on to win, the Diamondbacks clinch at least a tie for the NL West. The Astros lead the Rockies. 8-6 is the score there. It was 8-6 Mets over St. Louis this afternoon, and the Cardinals blowing a 6-2 ninth inning lead. They're now two back of the Braves for the wild card. Washington beat the Phillies 6-1. The Phils have the best record in Major League Baseball, and they're on a six-game losing streak. In the American League, Tampa Bay over the Yankees 15-8. Matt Moore, in his first Major League start, struck out 11 over five shutout innings. He is the first pitcher ever to strike out as many as 11 Yankees in five innings or less. Ever. Rookie nothing. Ever. That's something. What's also something is that you've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. The Jays are off on the road for the final time. We're back tomorrow at 7 Eastern. Brandon Morrow against David Price as they hit T-Bay. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Joseph Cilia Faso, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. It's where the Jays play.
Kaseva works it from the stretch, and the pitch to Edwin is taken outside. It goes to the backstop. Here comes Bautista. The throw not in time. And Jose Bautista has scored from third to tie it at three.
That was kind of big. And there it was, the blown save. The 24th blown save of the season for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who currently sit three games out of a playoff spot. Jose Bautista scoring on the wild pitch right after Adam Lind was called out at second base when he wasn't really out. That's how Bautista wound up at third. Edwin Encarnacion then doubled, just a harbinger of what was to come. Edwin walks it off with his 17th home run of the season, leading off the bottom of the 12th as the Jays improve to 11-0 in extra inning games at home. Overall, in the extra innings, the Jays are 13-4 this season. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls right up to midnight here, and then we will have Soccer Show here on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Also keeping an eye on the Twitter at Wilderness590, and I apologize for not really keeping an eye on the Twitter during the first portion, the network portion of the Jays Talk. It's a little bit more difficult here at Rogers Center where I only have one screen and I got to flip back and forth, Ben Ennis, who is my co-host on the Blue Jays This Week podcast, of which there will be at least one more. And if you haven't gotten into the podcast yet, you really ought to. You can find it at fan590.com. Bennis asks, is that Chariots of Fire in the background? And yes, a few minutes ago, we did hear Chariots of Fire here at Rogers Center. They were showing a video on the big screen of the grounds crew racing back to inside the fence in the left field corner, and they slowed it down and played a little Vangelis, indeed. Back to the phones we go. Terry is in Toronto. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Mike. Just a couple of things. A great win tonight. I think one of the reasons the Jays didn't come out after the game was they did all that on the Fan Appreciation Day, so I wouldn't be too hard on them for that. They just did it about a week ago.
Fan Appreciation Day was Sunday, that's true. Not today. We did mention that with the caller. But, you know, it would have been nice. I think that they're still in the season's not over mode, and it probably just didn't even occur to them. It's an oversight, and I'll wager that it won't be repeated.
Okay. Just a couple of things. Francisco, he's been pretty awesome the last two or three months. I mean, you know, you seem to be sort of taking just the assumption that they were going to lose him as a free agent. Should we be working hard to re-sign this guy? He's looked pretty awesome, like I say, the last bunch of starts. What are your thoughts there?
He has been fantastic since the All-Star break. And I know that people love to hate Frank Francisco, and everybody gets so excited when any Blue Jay reliever comes in. People fall all over themselves to be the first one to say that they're going to blow it. Frank Francisco, since the All-Star game, has been just short of phenomenal. I think he's been scored on twice. He hasn't blown a save. He's allowed 22 base runners in 18 innings with 23 strikeouts, holding opponents to a 6.04 OPS against. But here's the thing with Frank Francisco. He's 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's a free agent.
Right.
He brings back a draft pick when he leaves.
Right.
For all those reasons, you pretty much got to let him go if he wants to go. They'll offer him arbitration, and if he accepts arbitration, then he sticks around and he's a Blue Jay next year. But if he declines, then you find yourself another closer who can be as good as he was for the entirety of the season. You try to develop yourself a closer, whether it's Carreño, whether it's Beck, whether it's Drabeck, whether it's Lich, however it works. I would love to see Jansen get the shot. But you take that draft pick and you let him go.
Two other questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Adam Lynn, his numbers aren't that bad, but, God, he seems to swing at a lot of bad pitches. I mean, any thoughts on that? I mean, since the All-Star, he just seems to swing at a lot of bad pitches. I mean, has he been always like that?
He hasn't always been like that. He has been like that this year. He was like that at the beginning of his career as well. He's having a rough time. And I don't know how valid an excuse is that he's worn down mentally from having to play first base all season. I know it's been different for him. But he's not the guy we're used to seeing, and I don't know what the deal is. But I love the fact that he took a four-pitch walk from Scott Downs in the bottom of the ninth in a huge situation tonight. I love the fact that if he hadn't missed a month, he probably would hit 30 home runs and drive in 110 runs this year, even with the 300 on base. I'm not willing to pull the chute on Adam Lynn quite yet. I don't know that he should be hitting cleanup the way he's going. Certainly shouldn't have been the way he's been going since the All-Star break. But I'm an Adam Lynn fan, and I have faith that we're going to see more of what we saw in 2009 from him. Quick before we break, Sarah Jane asks on Twitter how you can blow a save in the seventh or eighth inning. The way it works is if you come into a game in a save situation as a reliever, which is to say that if you were to finish the game from that point, you would get the save. Because when you're in, there's no guarantee that you're going to come out. If you come into the game in a save situation, no matter when it happens, and you leave the game with that save situation not intact anymore, that's a blown save. Andrew Nye's got a 2020 update coming up. Working our way towards the soccer show and saying goodbye to the home schedule at Rogers Center. More Extendo Jays talk on the other side. It is Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
This is Ricky Romero of the Toronto Blue Jays, and you're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
The 1-2 to Thames. Slider drilled deep to right field. This line shot is out of here. Eric Thames gets the Blue Jays within a run here in the seventh inning.
That made it 3-2. Jose Bautista, that actually drove Irvin Santana from the game. And Bobby Caseva came in to walk Jose Bautista. And then Adam Lind hit a ground ball off the foot of Mark Trumbo into short center field. And Bautista managed to go to third. Lind got to second, slid in safely, but was called out by Brian Runge, who missed, A, the fact that Eric Eibar never touched him, and two, the fact that while Eric Eibar was never touching him, he was also bobbling the ball. But Lind was out, but it didn't matter because Caseva then threw a wild pitch to allow Bautista to score, and the game stayed tied until the 12th inning when Edwin Encarnacion gave Blue Jays fans their 13th walk-off of the season. And really, what better way to end the home schedule. 6 games left in the season. The Jays leave home with a 4-3 win over the Angels. This is the final edition of the Extendo Jays Talk that will take place here at Rogers Center. We will, of course, continue to Jays Talk it up. And the noise you hear behind me is the noise of the grounds crew tearing down this baseball field. They have already removed the in-the-action seats. They have taken down the wall in center field. They've taken down the chain link portion of the walls in front of the bullpens. The dugouts are going to be lifted out soon. It's just really sad. It really is. It hits you that this season's almost over. And as far as the season at home is, it is over. And it makes me want to cry a little bit. But instead, I will take your phone calls. Dave is in Barrie. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. I'm in the same boat as you, almost in tears the way you're describing. It sounds so stupid, but
it's sad. It's sad.
It sucks. And now I've got to watch Leafs hockey for the next 6 months.
You don't have to. I mean, if you're going to watch it on Sportsnet at least, but you don't have to.
I like the little plug in there.
Of course. A
couple things, Mike. Did you see the leak of the new Blue Jays logo?
I saw the leak of what's expected to be the new Blue Jays logo. There's no officialization of it, but I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. It's a little bit, for the callers listening here that haven't seen this new leaked logo, kind of
Jay's logo.
More aggressive. Jay's logo. A little bit more of aggressive, the older style, which I think, you know, the fans have been, you know, whining and moaning for a while.
I was talking to Pat Hankin in the dugout today, and he said to me they never should have changed it. That was as great as it was going to be. They never should have changed it. He said he would have loved in the World Series to still be wearing the old 1977 jerseys, which were the pullovers, but they got it right. And it's not, honestly, it's not just because they won the World Series those 2 years, but those uniforms were the best uniforms this franchise has ever had. And if they're going back to something close to that, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's truly awesome. And it's good for the fans. It's good for you know, people who buy jerseys, things in that manner. Because, you know, look at the Yankees. I hate the Yankees, but that uniform has not changed in years and years.
No, and do you know why the Yankees wear pinstripes?
Because they're putting everybody in jail.
No. Come on.
I don't know. Tell me, Mike.
The Yankees wear pinstripes because they were designed to make Babe Ruth look thinner.
There you go.
So Babe Ruth would not look like a huge fat guy. That's why they wear pinstripes.
Doesn't matter. He played the game magnificently.
He did.
Or so I've been told.
Yes, the two of us got to see him play many times, I'm sure.
Awesome, awesome. My question, Mike.
Yeah.
I was reading the Anthopolis article on RogersSportsnet.ca.
Shai Davidi did a great job with that one.
Now, as far as that article is concerned, what type of, because I saw that you were looking at the chat, and it was a bit ridiculous as far as Toronto fans are concerned. Both you and I can agree on that. Where do we go as far as a trade route? What type of players do we kind of try to want to gather to make us be a potential better team than we are this team?
Same ones this year. Same ones they've always looked at. Great, high-ceiling, elite-level players, young and controllable. You know, maybe the timetable is advanced on the kind of guys you can get in trade. I don't like to get into the too deep trade speculation thing, just because you never know. As I think I said yesterday, if you'd suggested to me 6 weeks ago that the Blue Jays could get Colby Rasmus for what they got him for, I would have laughed you off the air. So you know,
it was a bit ridiculous.
And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll say this. If the Cincinnati Reds are thinking for even a heartbeat about making Joey Votto available, the Alex Anthopoulos, the silent assassin, the ninja, will be all over that. He will be all over any of those great players that are available on the market that fit the Blue Jays' needs. So here's hoping that, that's what they do.
That's for sure. And what type of a starter do we want to try to acquire? Like, is it going to be a two behind Romero? Because Romero is our stud, and I love that. Romero is our future, but how and what do we try to accomplish as far as getting a starter?
Well, it's a good question, Dave, and it's something we've already kind of gone over a little bit earlier on the show, so I'm going to be quick, and I do want to get to a few more callers and then to John Farrell before we have to go. I think that they're going to take a good hard look at Yu Darvish, who is the young Japanese, outstanding young pitcher, but again, that comes with a huge caveat that no Japanese pitcher has come over here and worked out since Hideo Nomo to the point where people have wanted him, starting pitcher, to the point where people have wanted him to work out. They will always look in trade, and if anyone's made available in trade, they will make a trade. But I think there is a ton of pitching talent here with a ton of stuff. And as you saw in the article that Shai Diggity wrote on Sportsnet.ca, Alex Anthopoulos anticipates that we could see Nestor Molina and Deck McGuire and Chad Jenkins and Drew Hutchison up here in the big leagues next year at some point. So I don't think they're going to go whole hog to add a whole bunch of starting pitching unless it's the kind of starting pitching that just blows you away. Laura's in Etobicoke. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So first things, I don't care what they do with the uniform as long as they keep a nice good-sized maple leaf on it somewhere. That's my only criteria ever.
Well, it's got a maple leaf on it now, and it appears as though it's going to have a maple leaf on it soon. Next year, too.
So what I say is that, and I'm sure you will have a different opinion, but, and I was at this whole series, all four games, and Vernon Wells got booed all four games. And my perspective, and I think a lot of fans, towards the end, it doesn't matter that he waived a no-trade clause. A lot of fans. It seemed like he played with apathy.
And I understand that because I was fighting that battle here for years. There is not a chance. You know, it. What's funny is that people get these ideas, and they have them in their heads that they're absolute reality when there's nothing further from the truth. Someone tweeted me today. And said, yeah, but Colby Rasmus is a jerk. Kelly Johnson doesn't like it in Toronto. And I thought, where the heck do people come up with this stuff? I mean, no.
The thing, though, is that two guys are new. So I'm still kind of learning the ropes. And I've learned to make my own opinions. And from what I saw with my own eyes is that, and perception is reality. My little brother says that all the time.
Perception's not reality. Perception is your reality. But it's not reality. But you cannot succeed in the major leagues. You can't survive in the major leagues if you don't care. You can't.
Well, what I'm saying is that what the reality is and what people see, you know, and so that's all I'm saying is that if people look like...
Go ahead.
Of the passion that Bautista plays with... differently. But I think.
Okay, I think we're having some problems with your phone, Laura. I appreciate the call. I think a lot of what people see as passion and energy and whatever, a lot of that show is just for show. And I'm not saying that Jose Bautista or Eric Thames or Brett Laurie is putting on an act or anything. I don't believe that to be true. I do think there are some guys who do that. But I also don't think, you know, grit and intensity and heart doesn't do anything in baseball. And you got to play the way that you are best. And Vernon Wells didn't show much emotion, although he did every time he popped up the last 3 years. Vernon Wells, I'll say this. Vernon Wells cared more, and this is going to be hard for a lot of people to hear, and a lot of people are going to think I'm full of crap. Vernon Wells cared more about the successes of the Blue Jays than everyone who's listening to me did. Whether you saw it or not on the field, whether it came out, whether he was a screamer, whether he threw things when things didn't go his way, Vernon Wells cared very, very deeply about the fortunes of the Toronto Blue Jays. We are going to duck in and play some of John Farrell for you, are we not? Not ready yet? Well, if we're not ready yet, we can't do it at all because we're just about out of time. We will hear from John Farrell. The Super Cooper, our intrepid reporter, went downstairs and heard from the Jays skipper, and we'll give you a couple of minutes of what the skipper had to say as soon as I get a thumbs up from Dylan Brown here, who is taken over from Thomas K. Young. And we're good. Let's hear a little bit of John Farrell.
Just an outstanding ball game. Somewhat fitting that we finish it with an extra inning win, the 11th one of the season. So many good things in tonight's ball game. The way we battled back, the start by Henderson once again. The plays that McCoy is making at second base, he almost gave us a couple of shots to win it with some deep fly balls to left. Eric Thames with a big home run there in the seventh inning to get us a run closer. Casey Jansen, the guys out of the bullpen, just an outstanding job, you know, up and down the lineup. But Edwin, once again, you know, he gets a breaking ball in the middle plate, a walk-off. I don't care what time of the year it is, it's always exciting to finish with that kind of ending. Almost, again, somewhat fitting that, you know, the crowd that was here tonight, a lot of good energy. We gave them a little bit extra for their ticket tonight. But can't thank the people that have come out to this ballpark this year to see some exciting baseball, and we certainly look forward to it as we go forward.
John, could you just comment on the fans' reaction to Jose Bautista's last two at-bats?
Well, it's somewhat what we've been talking about internally, for the better part of the second half. In our minds, he is the MVP as well. And to hear that chant behind him on an outstanding night once again, you know, six plate appearances, on base five times, three hits again, couple of walks. We lost the DH for defensive purposes to get him in the game that late, thinking that there might be a key play that he might be involved with when he went back on the field. But you can't say enough for the attention that he's drawn and deservedly earned. And it was great to see that fan support for him.
There's John Farrell, a happy man as the Blue Jays walk it off against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 4-3 the final score. Apologies to all those of you to whom we couldn't get. We will do it again tomorrow as the Jays take on Tampa. Thanks to Zach Cooper, Joe Sicilia, Dylan Brown, Joel McFadden, all of you for listening. See you tomorrow.